Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 115, part 1, Two Loves, Eros and Agape. Today is Friday, October 2nd, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And you know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, which means you're a baby boomer, or you're disabled with proof, maybe you're a veteran, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. and register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to do that. We have plenty of food and we'd like to help you out. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our Pastor Paul's operation. So be sure to help us out online. You can also join our online community, and up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, where you can subscribe to weekly podcasts, Life Vantage, supplements, YouTube, you could watch some of our videos, and Twitter. Be sure to join me, Janine Sherry, on Twitter, where you will see a Twitter stream on Thursdays while I'm recording Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to check us out and join me on Twitter. When you go to Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to be able to leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. So be sure to go to Pastor Paul's blog, and you'll also see Pastor Paul's show notes there to the podcasts. In that, those show notes, you're going to find interactive links to the scriptures within Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go to the blog and link to the scriptures after you listen to his message. You can also email me at janine@pastorpaul.org. And as you know, Pastor Paul's podcast is twice weekly. On Friday is part one, Sunday is part two. So be sure to listen to both parts. It's the same episode. Glad to be back. Maggie is my computer. I always name my computers. I don't know. It's just one of those quirks I have. Anyways, Maggie is back. Maggie and I are back. We've been gone for 2 weeks. Maggie had a video card. Literally, she went blind, and that was it. And so now she's seeing again. I can see her. She can see me. We've got the video card. And also, Dr. Greg at the Digital Garage, where I took Maggie, he was able to help Maggie to be able to kind of clear her head out a little bit. Major files, major podcast files, 115 episodes and going strong. So Maggie needed room. So anyways, I want to let you know the names of the messages that you're going to be able to hear on Pastor Paul's podcast this month. Two Loves, Eros and Agape. Let Us Look Upon the Faithful. Comfort Comes from Constancy and Making the Second Rate into the First Rate. As always, Pastor Paul's messages are incredible. You will learn so much, get so free, and just really be blessed by his messages. So thank you for joining me. Be sure to check us out online at www.pastorpaul.org. If you need groceries, be sure to call us, 612-521-4665. Register your household for groceries. Have a wonderful month of October in Minnesota. It's beautiful. We're looking forward to a beautiful Indian summer where we're out in the yard getting the garden cleaned up and ready to hunker down for winter, which is coming on. So God bless you. Have a great month of October. God bless you.
I'm already turned on, but turn me on. Today we're going to minister on two types of love. Eros, and I want you to hear it, and agape. Two loves. Our world right now is becoming more and more perverted by the hour. Spirits, the Bible says, in the very end will be loosed by God. They are called seducing spirits. San Francisco right now has a local ordinance with an age consent down to 14. Now, a lot of other counties in the nation have followed after that. What does that mean? That means a man 50 years old can have legal sex with a 14-year-old, boy or girl. That means that when you're 14 years old, you can become a legal prostitute. That means that schools can teach sex education, and they do in San Francisco, with homosexuality taught as an alternative lifestyle. That means that homosexual preachers can preach from the pulpit because they have rights. All right. Right now we have a militant, very militant, homosexual. Well, I know this isn't very popular to preach that way because you say, well, you're just picking on a homosexual. No, I'm picking on people that say everything is okay, and it isn't okay. And so we have the very militant growing in numbers and taking over government positions, seducing spirits, led astray by seducing spirits, and it can happen to anybody. Anybody can be a homosexual. By the power of God, everybody can be released from being one too. But they're growing in numbers. What's God doing about it right now? We're seeing such things come on, curses, AIDS. Is that going to stop it? No. No, it says in the end there's going to be loose seducing spirits, lying spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of darkness, driven by a seducing spirit. Have you ever been driven by a seducing spirit? A sexual spirit? Something that wants to seduce you into doing something? Something that tells you to go ahead and eat that apple and just see if God will do anything about it? Well, we know there is such a thing. Yeah, I mean, you've all been hit by it. And until we can admit we've all been hit by these things, you cannot minister to the sexually perverted or the homosexual or the lesbian, whatever. 1974, and I was listening to an old tape. I ministered that these things were going to happen. That's 11 years ago. That six-year-old children would be used in X-rated movies, and they are. And that our laws would make no distinction between children and adults as far as naked models, and they don't. And I believe right now, because of our civil rights, and I mean all of us that are arguing over our rights, you know, oh God, there's so many people arguing over their rights. They argue over their rights. Well, I have a right, the wife says. And the husband comes back, but I have a right. So nobody's wrong. And everybody's right. Doesn't that sound kind of strange to you? Leaving the Word of God and going into our own rights, and where has it taken us? You can't even go down a street. You have to walk backwards and forwards and turning around in circles. Because everybody has their rights. And then there's always those that come in. You know what I mean. Oh, what if this happened and that happened? Don't get your mind on what if. Say amen, somebody. But everybody's arguing about their rights. Christians, I want to say this today. Get ready. God is going to call on all of us to stand up, and not only stand up, but stand up and be counted. You know what that is, to stand up and be counted? It'd be like you're in a great big room and you're compromising the Word of God, and all of a sudden the Lord puts it on us, stand up and be counted. He says, witness to all these you're compromising with. You're a Christian. You have to stand on top of the beer keg. See, I have decided to follow Jesus, and this is the devil's pit. I'm not going to enter into it. That's what God's going to call you to do. And a homosexual that God has struck on and said, I want you to give a message, you're going to have to stand up on the bed. See, I've decided to follow Jesus. Are you hearing this? And those are the ones that are going to minister the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, because the church itself has gone to sleep. And or else is busy asking questions. Like we Friday night message. And by the way, where is everybody on Friday nights? Go ahead and get that tape. Why? Don't ask God why. Ask Him how. Glory. I hope you're all listening on the radio. You know, there's not too many more messages to be preached. There's not too many more warnings to be put out before the awful coming of the Lord. Terrible coming of the Lord. Whew. Awesome coming of the Lord. Romans 1 and 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God. Oh, doesn't that fit the picture today? For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God. They know of Him, but they don't honor Him. They're too busy with their own intellectual garbage. Too busy, too puffed up, too wanting to be recognized by society and by the spiritual body of Christ, so-called, that it says in the Bible, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, the Bible goes on, they became fools. The Bible says, be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all. And exchanged the glory of an incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. And that's where we're at right now. Therefore, God gave them over to their own lusts. And that's what God has done right now. Okay? You want to have lust, and you want to have, you're not, in Christians, you're not saying anything about it. You haven't preached from the pulpit against it. You haven't done anything. And I'm going to give this world over to what they want, and they're going to get their fill of it. I'm going to give you perversion like you've never seen before. And right away, He opens up the pit. I mean, it is a dark, dank, stinking pit that the demons of hell, the Bible said, have been chained in. And God opens it up, and out of this slimy pit, these writhing spirits come up out of the pit, and they are called seducing spirits. And what do? They start to play with man's mind, and they start to take him in another way. And they seduce him. And he becomes a slave to his own lust because he desires to follow after his own flesh. And God has loosed them. Isn't it evident right now when you look out around this world? Have any of you been hit by seducing spirits? You all have. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing it? Whew. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for the image of a corruptible, are you hearing it? Man, and of birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. and therefore God gave them over to their own lusts. The lust, it says, of their hearts. And whatever in your heart, that's what you're going to act out. To impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading. Now listen, this is now. To degrading passions, for their women exchanged their natural function for that which is unnatural. Lesbians. And anybody in here could be a lesbian. By the grace of God, you're not. And in the same way also, men abandoned their natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving their own persons the due penalty of their error. And that's where AIDS comes in. And more diseases are on the way. You remember some years back, and I said, wait, now they think they got all these diseases all checked. There's going to be new ones coming on the line. Brand new, unheard of diseases, and that's only beginning. This has been covered up, but you're going to see a spread of AIDS. You aren't even going to want to get your hair fixed. You aren't going to go here. You aren't going to want to go there because you're afraid you might get this AIDS. You're afraid you might get a contact with it. Listen, you don't even know who you're messing with. Oh, there's a warning out. And I mean, God's right now. It's something. I always tell a woman, you got a man that chases, and you know, you don't know where he's been that night, and he's been out tomcat, and you go have him have a complete physical checkup, and he's got 30 days in the think tank. Because that man could come home with a terrible disease. Say amen. Do you hear me there, men, that are just running around me or going out with the organ player? I don't know. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, and that's happening now. Do we honor God in everything we say and do? No, most times not. God gave them over to a depraved mind and to do those things which are not proper. God gave him over and says, okay, now have at it. You don't want to be controlled? Then get it. It's just like a parent says, okay, now you're 18 years old. You don't want to be controlled. You want to lay here and you want to sleep here and you want to eat here and you want to do all this, but you don't want to behave. So just go on over and do whatever you want to do. Now that's just the same way, isn't it? Go ahead and just go on out and raise hell. Is that right? Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips. Now, sometimes the gossip is kind of sly. They sort of prime the pump. It's like the charades. And they draw it out of somebody else, so somebody else does all the gossip. Say amen, somebody. And aren't we all good at that? Hey, I can be an expert at that if I want to be. But God has shown me the error of such things. I don't know, we can be experts at that as charades. We know just how to get it going. Just how to... Ooh, ooh, that's it. You're close. That's it. Draw the knife. Get the whip out. Yeah, now you got whoppo, huh? All right. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. And aren't we all good at inventing evil? Have you ever invented evil? Well, not recently. Liar. Hideous, damnable liars, listening on the radio a lot of times. They're liars. The Bible calls it damnable. We all can sit down and create evil. Not only the other, just the other day, someone that had done something to some people I really liked. Man, I just started inventing evil. I seen my body jumping in the air and doing these old judo chops and all this kind of thing, see. Then there's always people that help you, and they come along and say, you know what? And you start creating more evil, don't you? Or you get into the melancholies and you create, and you turn on, you get an old Coke and you sit down and you sit by the old records and you start playing melancholy records like Sentimental Journey and all this junk. Huh? And you create evil. Maybe even worse, you wish for a person to die. Well, that doesn't happen. It happens all the time. I wish that man or that woman would just die. It's getting awful quiet in here. And you know why? Because that's just the way people are. It's the way we all are. We get melancholy. Even kids wish that. Oh, what if my parents died? And then all my friends would say, oh, you poor thing. Oh, gosh, your mom was so nice and everything. What is that? That is seducing spirits. So we have to recognize we're warring not flesh and blood, we're warring seducing spirits. I'm not trying to get you on a guilt trip. I'm just telling you the way people are in the flesh. Not me. Liar, liar. Pants on fire. That's where they'll be. You have to recognize that right now there's even a worse sweep and the devil's coming on strong. But the Lord is going to raise up a standard against it. The truth is going to be revealed. There's no good thing in the flesh. But glory to God, there's an incorruptible seed inside of every person. And there's a soul, hallelujah. That's more precious than the whole world, a soul. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. I'm not those things. Have you ever been unmerciful? Have you ever been unmerciful in your thoughts? You start to tell a story. And, oh, ooh, ee, and the other person said, it's just the devil. And you still go on. Oh, hey. You see, we haven't got time for all that. And although they know the ordinance of God, and those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Well, you have a right to do that. I guess if I was in the same situation, I'd say kill also. Yes. God, forgive me. Say amen. Now, see, we aren't going to want to change until we recognize where we're at. And that's what I'm trying to do today. That's exactly where we're at. Not talking to all you on the radio right now. Some turned it off. They turn it back on again. Sex has produced more heaven and more hell than any one thing. The sex side of us is natural, of course. And I know if it's used rightly, it causes creativity. It contributes something. It's creative. But sex used wrongly can play havoc with the personality. Because that's all you'll be able to think about is sex. Morning, noon, and night, it will go to bed with you. It's called the sex drive. Well, what is a sex drive? It's the whole drive of your whole nature because you're made in God's image and it's a creative thing. It can be put into creating music. It can be put into creating, doing something in the art world or something for God. And the bigger that drive, put into the harness of the Lord. Whoa, man. Well, then, you mean that's all we'd ever do and we'd never get married or have kids? I didn't say that. I'm talking about there is a perverted sex drive. Well, I'm the kind of person that, you know, just falls in love with everybody. I mean, I can be with someone and I fall in love with them. And I'm with this one and I fall in love, falling in love again, falling in love again, falling in love again now, huh? You have to give that over to the Lord. Are you hearing this? See, that's a godlike quality to love people. And that's why people get into homosexuality, because they're sort of groping around looking for something to love, see? And you know, they're here and they're there, and all of a sudden they meet up with somebody of the same sex. Whoop! Oh, okay, huh? That's just about as simple as it is. Should I complicate it? And you say, well, it was in your mother's womb, and go way back and have the person, you know, double themselves up into a fetus position and go through all that? No! All you have to do is expose the thing to God's light. Made a wrong turn. You were led astray by a seducing spirit, and you fell for it. And there was no preacher around to preach the word of God or tell you anything, so you just went ahead and did your own thing. But anyway, love manifests itself either one way or the other, even in eros or agape. Now, eros spelled backwards is sore. There's a lot of sore heads around, isn't there? Did you ever see somebody living in eros love? There are sore heads. They're always mad. They're always upset and they're always mad and they're always stamping their foot. Is this hitting on you today? You listening on the radio? I hope so. I really do. Say amen. I hope it is hitting you, because a lot of us live in eros love. See, eros love is wanting the other person for our own purposes. God, I've seen girls pray, Lord, give me that man. Lord, I know it's your will. Lord, I want... Why that particular one? Huh? I want him so. Lord, Lord, you know my heart's desire. Lord. No, your natural father. If you said, Dad, can I marry this demon over here? And the guy standing over with the great big horns and slanted eyes and pointed ears and a leering mouth. I'm trying to be descriptive. But hey, it's a little bit funny, but it is the truth, isn't it? Would you want your daughter to marry that one because her heart's desire was to have him? I'm afraid not. Say amen, somebody. Ooh, see, but agape, on the other hand, is wanting the other person for the other person's good. Did you hear that? It's wanting the other person for the other person's good. Now that's agape love. God wants you. God first loved you. For what? For your good. He wanted to be good to you. That's God's love. That's a word that when they found it out and the Spirit of God came on the Greeks, they said, well, we've got to have another word for this. We don't know what kind of love. There's Philadelphia and there's Eros. But this is a new kind of love. This is different. This is behold how they love one another while they're in the lion's den. When they're in a Colosseum, when they're in a fiery trial. It wants to love, not to benefit, but to be benefited, be beneficial to someone else. It isn't jealous or suspicious or where have you been-ish. Have you ever seen somebody that's eros? Where'd you go? We had a couple living to us, this is 20-some years ago. And this woman walked so close behind her husband, it was almost like a vaudeville act. You know how they walk and they have their kids? And I wasn't born again yet, and I says, you know, you two guys remind me of vaudeville. So wherever he goes, you hang on to his hips and you walk right behind him in the same steps. And at that time I wasn't saved, so I says, I am really tired of looking at that, you know? And then he said, why don't you do a new act? But that's eros! Thought you were going to call. Said you're going to call at 7 o'clock. Well, it's only 3 minutes after. 7 to 7, isn't it? That doesn't happen? Happens all the time. Or else a person doesn't say anything and they walk around mad all the time. What are you mad about? Nothing? Who's mad? So they want to tell her they're mad about the 3 minutes, so they go back 30 years. Oh, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, that's where a lot of Christians are at too, isn't it? Say amen, somebody. You listen on the radio, that's exactly where you're at right now. And don't blame it on your husband, because he's at work right now. Now, you were going to send for that tape, weren't you? But now I mentioned you, so now you won't send for it. I'm not looking for people to love me. I'm looking to give the truth out. I'm looking to see people be free. Whew. But Eros thinks of nothing but self. Eros again, spelled in reverse, spells sore. What are you sore about? It's how about me? Have you ever once considered me? And the man is thinking, or the woman is thinking, oh yes, I've considered you quite a bit. Yes. Huh? So who's more evil? Don't I mean a thing to you? And the person on the other end is thinking, absolutely nothing. Less every day, if that's possible. Is this the truth? These people are miserable, and they must be the sinner. Do you ever see somebody trying to steal camera time? Hi, Mom. They're not concerned about Mom. They want their kisser in there. I hope you see yourself in this today. This is all about me too here, you know. Eros, it sort of devours others and smothers people, and it hangs on. It'll use anything to get attention. It's sore about this and sore about that, and oh, some even feign sickness. Did you pick up my pills? Did you get the green ones and the red ones and the green and red ones? And the red and green? Did you get them? Did you? Well, don't forget them. You know how I need them. You know how my heart is. You know how my liver is. You know how my feet are. You know how my back is. And they use all that stuff. Huh? A husband leaves and they bounce out of that bed and they get the TV turned on looking for that old soap. Ooh. But it hangs on to others. there's, oh, it's just a hanging, clinging vine. It's worried and it's fretful and it's nervous and it's cunning. And it's insecure and it is pitiful. It's, what's in it for me? It's men getting sex and then rejecting the baby. Some of you on the radio have that problem. It's really not a problem. You could have two babies. You count yourself lucky. Count it a God. And it is a God because you didn't abort. Say amen. It's women liberals who want no family, no head, infiltrated by lesbians and lesbian attitudes. And the result is millions upon millions of aborted babies. If anything, any one thing could call down the wrath of God, that is going to be it. And at the same token, you have to let these people know that they are genuinely forgiven. God forgives. It's non-involved people, and there's so much of that, running all over trying to get peace and joy, closing their eyes to the needs of people. That is eros love. Running all over trying to gain something. There's nothing to gain. Trying to gain more life? Well, you're supposed to lose your life. Are you unhappy? Are you frustrated? Are you... So you can go through all these things, but if you're dead, well what are you any of those things for? It's just because you're most alive. See, because agape develops the very object to love, an agape lover can heal. Bible says it can overlook and it can bear all things. Here's an example I'm going to give you. Now, I just ministered on a Friday night. But I said, you know, it's all an attitude. You can have fun when you get up in the morning. It's boring. You know why people are bored, I said, is because they are boring. The reason you're bored is because you are boring. And you attract other bores. So you got a whole room full of bores. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? And a whole room of bores. And a lot of times teenagers are boring. Aren't they boring? Ever listen to teenage conversations? Unless they're involved? I remember one summer my dad closed up. No, oh, he's picking on the teenagers again. Hey, I was a teenager one time, many years ago. In a lot of ways, I still am. Oh, wiggle in your seat, sitting on the radio. How many hearing this? A lot of you older people are teenagers in here, too. It's not this select group. The teenagers look around, they're not a teenager. They're old and they're wrinkled. Bald. How many are hearing this today? But see, they haven't got their eyes on Jesus, so they're all bored. Isn't that right? My dad closed the cafe. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Closed the cafe one summer. I didn't have nothing to do. You know what? I was bored. I said, Dad, when are you going to open up another cafe? I'm bored. So I went to my friend's house, and they were bored, and their folks were bored with them, and they were just at the sickening stage. They were skinny, and they had a hank of hair, you know how we are, and they had, just enough hair on their face to look like a rotten peach. Nobody wanted them around. We were always hungry and ornery and... Oh, what are we going to do? Dad, what are we going to do? And Mom, and my dad said, Dad went down and we looked at this cafe and we got in this cafe and And it was just the grubbiest old thing you ever want to look at. And I says, Dad, this place has got possibilities. You know what we're going to do? We're going to get over here, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And Dad says, yeah, then we'll do this, and we'll do that. And we got in there, and we started just scrubbing and then cleaning on that place. And you know what? We had the joy of the Lord all over us. It was some of the hardest work I ever did in my life. But we had the jumping joy of Jesus in that place because we were not boring because we were active. Inactive people are bores. Aren't they? Isn't your husband a bore when he goes and he lays down and the game is going, he's got his paper over his face? Huh? Then he gets up and he says, well, I like to be with my kids. You were with them? They weren't with you. Family counseling made easy. Over the radio. Here. Why waste time? Ooh, are you hearing this? Last night we were down here, we were making soup. And I made a comment here. Jim and Randy, we made that comment. Janine and myself, we were down here. I said, isn't it strange, in the middle of all this mess, how much fun we're having down here? And how much peace there is. You know when you have a joy and a peace, what's happening? The joy of the Lord is in what you're doing. And I don't care what you're doing. On your job, when you're at home, when you're making bean soup, it's all in your attitude. Like I said Friday night, you got to get into sort of a musical when you're doing these jobs. This is the way we dust the house, dust the house, dust the house. This is the way we dust the house, and here's a rag for you too. Pretty soon you got the whole family. This is the way we dust the house, dust the house, dust the house. This is the way our family dusts the house. Early in the morning, ka-choo. It's the same way while you're sitting right here today. It's all within yourself. The happiness, see, comes from the inside. It's nothing from the outside. It's got to be Jesus. It's got to be the Spirit of the Lord to give you kind of that happiness. Oh, isn't that peculiar, though? Say amen, somebody. Well, I don't know if that'll work with my friends, because, see, we like to do things. Well, don't you call that doing something? See, you can have fun doing a lot of things. It's all in your attitude. The joy is on the inside. The very first of my ministry, I used to work when I had a lot of time. I worked with a lot of young people. I mean an awful lot of young people, hundreds, thousands. And the key to the whole thing was to get people and the young people involved because they had that drive. And so we sang and we built. If I had a hammer, and you put the hammer to work, and you put the body to work, and you ministered to the people, and they had, it was a musical. How many hearing this today? They left the eros love affair, and they had a love affair with the Lord, and they became agape lovers. Because eros spoils all that it touches. It sees so selfishly. Everyone, when you're in eros, how you see everything so selfishly. What's in it for me? You don't even see nature out. You don't see nothing. You miss everything. You don't notice flowers. You don't notice trees. You don't notice anything. You're not seeking anything. You're seeking to satisfy yourself, and you're blind to everything all around you. God has made a beautiful, you know, picture out there of spring and the birds and the bees and everything. And oh, a new boat, and we're riding across the lake, and it's so much fun, and it costs $65,000, and we got a brand new car, and it costs $40,000. You rich people, you hear me? But you forgot, like I read in the Bible, to give God thanks, and you are bound up with material junk. You see selfishly. Also, it's an accuser. Everybody else is responsible for their miserable existence. You know why I am the way I am? You know why I am so unhappy? You! How many are hearing this? The yous in your life, the other people in your life, have nothing to do with you being happy. Nothing. They have nothing to do with you being unhappy. Your happiness lies right in your own backyard. Your happiness is in God. It's called agape love. And see, that's what we've got to get into, overcoming this end time. We got to get into the love of God and the agape love that overlooks all things, beareth all things, endureth all things, never takes into account a wrong suffered, and just simply goes on. What are you going to do now? The bridge is out. The bridge is out. The bridge is out in the way to heaven. The bridge is out. What are you going to do? We're going to keep right on going. Turn back, the bridge is out. What are you going to go back to? This agape I'm talking about can make everything blossom. It becomes the doer. It has a high calling, it has a high plan, it has a high purpose in a low place. Did you know you can have a high purpose in a low place? How low can you go? I said in a low place. Are you in a low place right now? I mean really low in your life. Oh, I'm so low. I'm so down. What am I going to do? You can have a high purpose in a low place. What is your purpose? Is it a roast love? Why am I here? Why am I living? Huh? I don't know. Are you hearing this? You can have a high purpose in a low place. And your purpose has to be glorifying God in a low place. That's a high purpose. See, because one is the touch of life and the other is the touch of death. Now, you girls listening on the radio, I want to tell you something before you get married. You boys, too. That you do not marry an eros. Are you hearing this? Meaning a person operating on human love. And they call it puppy love. Huh? And a lot of people, when they get married, when they're, you know, they can be 50 years old. And it's puppy love. You know what puppy love is? Puppy licks your hand because it's getting something out of it itself. It expects something back. Do you expect something back all the time? You do something so you can get something back. You cannot satisfy an eros lover, spelled again backwards. Eros means sore, a sore head. You cannot satisfy them. No. Because they're living in the flesh. Did you ever try to satisfy the flesh? That's why everything is so perverted right now. We let sex go. So it's, okay, sex, you're free to do, there's no moral code, do whatever you want to. Oh, well, I see. And so they try this. They think, oh, that'll say, this is as bad as I can ever get. I'll be a lesbian or a homosexual. This is bad. Then the next thing is animals. The next thing is children. The next thing is orgies. The next thing is suicide. Getting kind of quiet on the radio. You mean people are actually bothered by such things? Everybody is. Oh. How do you preach something like this without getting people, the erosis, to be more sore-headed? But girls, you be careful when you marry one of these soreheads. They can't be satisfied. They can't be happy. They can't be content, and they will never adjust. They can't make an adjustment to loving you. The adjustments from here to here. They can't make it. It's like the two martini high. They get married, they have the honeymoon, and then it's like the Roadrunner. You ever notice how he always hits the bottom and there's a little pile of dust? You can't satisfy him. And don't think you can. Don't get the mother instinct. Oh, I know. All he needs is someone to cook him a good meal and darn his socks and love him. I'll be there when he needs me. Faithful to the end. No, you won't, because you're doing it for the same thing that he's doing it for, and you'll both end up bored to death with each other. Love isn't give and take. Love is give. Give your heart to God. Give yourself over to God. Oh, completely. You don't need none of yourself. It's a poison. Did you ever notice how you can poison yourself? You know, the biggest poison in the world is self. The biggest drug in the world is self. See, the early Christians had to bring in agape to express something absent in this ancient world. So if you're